Stephen Robinson is a father, partner, musician, teacher, and revolutionary. He's also a pretty rad dude. Thing is, he grew up hating school. He now teaches high school, by the way, and he shares a story about his real education, life on the road in a touring hip-hop group. This came from a recent Next to Normal Story Slam at the McLean County Arts Center.
Yeah, I used to tour with this hip-hop duo, and I think I learned more doing that than I ever learned in school. The very first night of the very first tour we ever went on, we were in a place called Blissfield, Michigan. Has anybody ever been to Blissfield, Michigan? No, probably not. It's a tiny town, and we weren't actually playing a show in the town. We were playing a show outside of town in what was a church, but people were squatting in it, and we showed up to the show. We were on tour with a band called Rapider Than Horsepower. That's the best name ever, isn't it? Rapider Than Horsepower. They're from Bloomington, Indiana. They're a punk band. And, yeah, we were the kind of rap group that played with punk bands. Whenever we played with another rap group, we just felt off. We played a show in Atlanta once. No. This was Athens, Georgia, with this, like, Dirty South rap group. I don't know if you know what the Dirty South hip-hop sounds like. And this dude came up to me after the show and asked me if I would sell him beats. And I was like, no, I'm not going to sell you any beats. Sorry. Anyway, that's not a part of the story. We rolled into Blissfield, Michigan with Rapider Than Horsepower, rolled up to this church, and it's us and like eight metal bands and Rapider Than Horsepower. And Moses, a.k.a. Kid Static, I think must have been the first black dude they'd seen in months. And he's a rapper from Chicago, born and raised in Chicago. We roll up, and I think they assumed things about him that made him seem instantly cool. And he was an instant celebrity. First night, very first tour. And I'm just like, I'm here too. but the show went well. It went well. We played, some metal bands played, Rapper Than Horsepower played. And I was thirsty. So I went to one of the guys that lived in the house. I was like, hey man, where can I fill up my bottle of water? And the guy said, yeah, but there's no functional plumbing in this building. It's like, what? Don't you live here? Yeah. It's like, what do you drink? They had a lot of alcohol, and that was it. I don't drink alcohol. I never have. So I was, I guess I'm not gonna hydrate tonight. So I went outside to be by myself and finish a sandwich that I had purchased earlier in the day. I had about a half of a sandwich left, and I'm sitting there. Eating my sandwich. Enjoying myself. You like that one? And this guy starts walking up to me. Here, somebody imagine. Come here, Tristan. Imagine you're me. Eat your sandwich, okay? Yeah. This guy walks up to me like this. I'm not very big. Yeah, you can sit down. Thank you. I don't know how big he was, but he was a lot bigger than me. And drunk. And I don't really like inebriated people. And so I'm standing there. He comes walking up. Very intimidating. Getting in my... Okay, imagine the chair's me now. Bumps into me. And I say, can I just eat my sandwich, please? And he says, this is what he said to me. Eat your sandwich. I'll kick your sandwich. And so I thought, all right, I'm about to get my sandwich kicked right now by a very large drunk fellow in the middle of nowhere in Michigan. And I've never been in a fight in my life, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Where's Moses? Kid Static. But at that precise moment, Mike A comes walking up. Mike A is a singer from Rapider Than Horsepower, not to be confused with Mike D, who played guitar in Rapider Than Horsepower. Mike A walks up. Mike A is also a large fellow, scraggly hair, tattoos on the backs of his hands and his neck, you know, like the type of dude that can only get a job working in a kitchen because I'm just being honest. He can't get employed anywhere else. And he's a singer in this band. The sweetest dude in the world. When you get to know him, he's super sweet. But, you know, in the dark, he doesn't look sweet. So he walks up behind me, and I'm like his little buddy, you know. And he's like, is there a problem here? And then the Eat Your Sandwich guy just sort of, you know, saunters off. So at that point, this is the first night of the first tour I ever went on. At that point, Mike is like, all right, let's go get paid. I'm like, cool, all right. So we go find the promoter. The promoter turns out to be a 14-year-old kid. Like, all right, where's the kid at? He's sitting on the steps to the church, and we come up. He's sitting there, and Mike A is doing the talking. I don't know what I'm doing. Mike A has been living on the road for years, so I'm just like, let him handle it. He says to the kid, hey, you know, we want to settle up. And the kid says, yeah. I mean, we only got like $25 for you. I don't know what the agreement was for that night, but I know that wasn't it. And Mike A, without missing a beat, leaned over him. That wasn't the agreement. And the kid popped up, ran into the church, and came out in less than 2 minutes with all of the money. And then the dude left, scampered off, and Mike A looked at me and said, sometimes that's how you got to do it. It's like, what? Don't people just treat you fairly? I don't understand sometimes you have to do what? Okay, so then we were trying to figure out where we were going to sleep, because the 14-year-old kid apparently told us we could sleep in the church. So I go into the church. I got my sleeping bag. Walk up. I see Moses coming out of the basement, and Moses looks at me. Moses knows me pretty well by this point. He's like a brother to me now, but at this point, we weren't like brothers yet. We just knew each other really well. He comes out of the basement, and he looks at me and goes, you don't want to go down there. And I was like, yeah, but the 14-year-old kid told me that's where we were sleeping. Nope. Where are you going to sleep? I'm going back down. And I was like, wait, what? Why do you get to go down there and sleep and I don't? Yeah, man, you don't want to go down there. I was like, okay. I did find out what was going on down there eventually, and he was right. So he saved me. So I find Mike A. I'm like, Mike A, what are we going to do? We need to go to sleep. You know, I'm like, hey, big guy, I need help figuring out what I'm going to do my first night on the road. And he's like, I think Mike Dixon has a tent in the car, or in the van. Okay, let's go get the tent. Mike Dixon gets the tent. Like, yeah, the tent's for one person. It's a one-person tent. Can we sleep in it with you? Okay. All right. So we put up this tiny little tent in the middle of this yard. Middle of nowhere, there's no lights, no running water, no nothing. Set up the tent, Mike Dixon gets in. I feel like by the time I got in the tent, he was already asleep. I almost cursed, but I didn't because my kid's here. I'm on my best behavior when he's here. You should hear me at school when he's not with us. It's like, God, I have a problem. So Mike Dixon is in the tent, already asleep. Mike A gets into the tent. Mike A is the biggest dude. I don't know why he decided to sleep in the middle. He gets in, and then I get in. There's no room for me. I'm laying there by the door. I don't think. And then I look over. Eat Your Sandwich Man is by a tree looking at me. He's just sitting there like this. So I look over at Mike A. Is my time up? Oh, that's the song. Yeah. I was like, what is this, the Emmys? I look over at Mike A. I was like, Mike A. There it is. Yeah, we actually wrote a song about it. That's the song. I look over at him. Mike A. I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep. He's staring at us. And Mike A just said, take off your belt. And I was like, what? Why? Just take it off. No, take off your belt. I was like, okay. So I start taking off my belt. I don't know why. And then he said, wrap it around your hand. Okay. Let the buckle dangle like 4 inches. Okay. Now lay down, go to sleep. I was like, okay. And then he said, he like whispered this in my ear. He's like, look, man, I know you can't fight. So if something happens, just swing your arm around and let the buckle hit him. And then I'll step in and save you. And I was like, okay. So I laid down. That guy was still there. And then I fell asleep somehow. I woke up the next day. The sun was out. My hand was still clenching the belt. It was all white. Mike A and Mike D were both asleep. I was like, we survived. I don't know how. So then, like two tours after that, I'm in Columbus, Ohio. I'm playing this house party. We're on a tour with a different band. They're called the May She. They're super good, another punk band. And after the show, I was the guy that was responsible for the money on this tour. This dude comes out, the promoter. Again, it's a, you know, he was a college kid, so he was older than 14, but he was still pretty young. He came out, and I was like, hey, man, we need to settle up. I need to hit the road. And he said to me, we didn't collect enough money. This is all I have. And I thought, what would Mike A do? And I said, you better go in there and get it. And then I was like, what did I? And then he was like, okay. And then I thought to myself, what is happening to me? He did get money. He found money somewhere, came out. Me and that dude actually became friends, and he became our merch man on a subsequent tour. Another Mike. His name was Mike Pham. But at that, it's those moments where I started to realize I can't do this. I can't. All I want to do is make music, but I cannot do it in a way where I have to spend my time trying to shake down kids for another $50 so I can get to the next town and shake down some other college kid for another $50. It's like, what is the point? And at the same time, I was starting to get sort of, conscious of the world. I met another Mike. There's mics all over the place. Is there a mic here tonight? Are there any mics? Yeah? There's got to be at least a mic, one mic here. Anyway, I met another Mike in Philadelphia. This Mike was an anarchist, and we played a show at his house, and I was like, what? Tell me about your life. He loaned me books, and I was like, what is the, you know, we met these like dudes in Georgia. We met people out west. And I started to think, I need to do something else with my life. So we went back to Chicago after one of these tours. And I said to Moses, I think I'm going to go back to school and become a teacher. And he said, I guess I'm moving to L.A. And that's what he did. So now I do that. I still do music. Moses and I put a record out a couple years ago, but we don't tour anymore. But now when my students ask me, Mr. Robinson, man, I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I'm thinking about going to college. I'm thinking about doing, you know, I should get a, now I always say, no. What you need to do is start a band and tour for like 3 years. And then you'll figure out what you really want to do with your life. Like, Mr. Robinson, I don't play any instruments. That's okay. I literally hit play on a laptop and ran around and yelled for 3 years. You don't have to know how to do anything to do that. Have you heard what's on the radio? Oh, yeah. So far, none of them have taken me up on my advice. But someday they will.
Stefan Robinson told his story at a Next to Normal Story Slam produced by Devin Lovell at the McLean County Arts Center. The theme of the next Story Slam this evening at the center is Isn't It Romantic?